while they were singing that song, Miss Marie told me right before church, she had three people died in 18 days. Some of you this past year seen loved ones leave this world. I want you to know if they had faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're in heaven. And one day we're going to be there with them. That's exciting, isn't it? Real exciting. Praise the Lord. I'd like you to take the Word of God. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. It's good to be saved, isn't it? And you were saved because the Holy Spirit worked in your life. Helped you to see some things and to understand some things. Brought you to the Lord Jesus. Placed you into the body. Into that precious covenant between God the Father and God the Son. And sealed your salvation till the day of redemption. The work of the Holy Spirit is a continuing work. It doesn't just work occasionally. It's always, the Holy Spirit's always at work. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. It works in a great and mighty way. Let's stand to our feet this morning in honor of God's Word. Begin reading in verse number 7, John chapter 16. Verse number 7. The Lord Jesus is speaking and He's encouraging some folks. He's been speaking for quite a while now. And you can go and begin to read back in chapter number 14, where begins this conversation or this dialogue, if you will, monologue. And He speaks to this group of people. And He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world was judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore, said I, that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you." Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the assurance of heaven as we've trusted You as our Savior. Lord, in our midst this morning, there are those that may not know Thee as Savior. And I pray that this day they would trust Thee. Come to that understanding of Your love for them. And Lord, if they'll just trust You by faith, they can have that peace and assurance also. And for those of us that are saved, I pray that You'd work in our lives as we see how the Holy Spirit wants to work in us and through us. And Lord, I pray that we'll be obedient to Thee. When the time comes for response, Lord, may we respond according to Thy will. Give me strength and grace. Power to preach. I'm so weak in myself. I have no ability. But Lord, I pray that Your ability would do the work in this place today. May I be obedient. I thank You for what's accomplished. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. When I think about the Holy Spirit, every time I think about the Holy Spirit, I always go back to one of the greatest stories in the Bible. It was a story in the Old Testament about a man by the name of Abraham and a man by the name of Isaac and the man that has no name. an unnamed servant. This unnamed servant was sent by the father, Abraham, to go and to seek out a bride for the son, Isaac. And this unnamed servant goes to a distant land, goes to the people of their own people, and he finds a lady by the name of Rebekah. You know the story. And he goes and he begins to work in her life, and he tells her all about the son. We don't know this servant's name, but he's a type of the Holy Spirit. Abraham's a type of God the Father. Isaac's a type of the Son. Of course, you remember it was Isaac that laid down his life there on the altar, and as the father was ready to take the life of the son. And then God sent that ram in the thickets, and God provided himself a lamb. And then we see as the father sends this unnamed servant to find a bride, and this unnamed servant goes over and he finds Rebekah. And when he finds Rebekah, he begins to tell her all about the family. And begins to tell her all about the goodness of Isaac and how wonderful he is. And then they begin that long camel train back for 1,500 miles through the desert and through the storms. And there's that unnamed servant is there. And I can imagine every time the storms come, he makes sure she's taken care of. And he delivers her back. And one day they're walking back in, or they're coming back into the place where Abraham and where Isaac is. And Isaac is out there in the field, and their eyes meet. And I want to tell you something. They're brought together by this unnamed servant. Now I'm reminded of how the Holy Spirit began to show me all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Told me who He was through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, and through the witness of other people, and begin to tell me all the good things and to show me all that I could have in Jesus. And He brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful illustration that is in the Old Testament. And we can preach simply on that today. But as we see this story here in the Bible, we see the Lord Jesus speaking to His disciples. Earlier in chapter number 13, we could go back and we could see where this is really beginning. Actually, before this, when he told them of the betrayal of Judas Iscariot and told them about the denial of Peter towards them. And then in chapter 14, he says, "I'm going away." Man, they were getting all kinds of news from Jesus, weren't they? He said, "One's going to betray me, one's going to deny me, and then I'm leaving." And their hearts had to be broken. But he also tells them, "I'm coming back." But there's going to be some time between the day that he left and the time that he returned. So during the time between the resurrection and the rapture of the church, he promises that there's going to be a comforter that's going to come. In John chapter number 14 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "And I will pray," the Lord Jesus says, "and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." This Comforter is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse number 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So we understand that there's the working of the Holy Spirit. We'll look at the work of the Holy Scriptures one week. We're going to look at the work of the Holy Servant one week. But we see here the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to look at that work today and give just a couple of things. I want you to see, first of all, it is a reproving work. It is a reproving work. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7 of our text, John chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you seeth me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So the Lord Jesus, in the first few verses of this chapter, reveals some very sobering thoughts about the things that lie ahead, if you were to go back and study that. And these disciples would be doing the Lord's work while facing all kinds of adversity and opposition. And they're going to be going in different directions. And the Lord, in human form, could not go in all these directions. You remember what he told them when he gave them the Great Commission? He says, and lo, I will be with you always, which means all along the way, even until the end of the world. But in human form, could the Lord Jesus go in all the directions that the disciples are going to be going? No. We understand that. We realize that. Because in human form, He had the flesh, and he was man. So he could not be divided up. He couldn't send part of himself here and part of himself there. So the Bible says here in our text, it is expedient for you. It is necessary. So the Bible says it was expedient, it was necessary for him to go away. And when he would go away, he would send, the Bible says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And when he has come, verse 8 says, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. This word reprove is a great word in this instance because it means to convince or to convict. So let's look at this today. He's going to reprove, first of all, reprove the world of sin. The Bible says in verse number 9, of sin because they believe not on me. As truth is revealed, the Spirit of God are going to convince men of their sin. Before somebody can be saved, they have to realize they're a sinner. They have to be convicted of their sin. And all sin is forgivable. We understand that, except for the sin of not believing on Jesus. Of sin because they believe not on me. Every sin can be forgiven except for denying that Jesus is who he says he is. You know, if a man could find the cure for some kind of a terminal illness, if they could find the cure for cancer, there's no doubt that if he had the answer for it all, he would do everything that he possibly could to get that antidote out there, to get that solution out there. If money was needed, he would go to the banks. He would go to the government. He would go everywhere that he possibly could to get grants. He would do everything that he possibly could. The price compared to the cure would be overcome by any means that he possibly could do if it was possible, you know? Whatever it took, come up with that cure. Do you realize the most terminal illness of all is sin? The most terminal illness is sin, and it has the most horrible end on earth because the end is death in a separation from God in a place called hell. That's the end of sin. And the Holy Spirit is reproving the world of sin because they believe not on me, the Bible says. But the difference is between finding the cure for cancer and trying to find the money and find all the resources you needed, this price for this sickness has already been paid. And it's paid in full. The cure has already been given. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. Your sins can be forgiven because the price has been paid, dear friends. But mankind rejects the love of God and rejects the gift. The thing about it is, if somebody were to find a cure for some terminal illness and you were to go and to take that cure, it's going to cost you. Sometimes it may cost you everything you have. You'll empty your bank accounts. You may refinance your home, sell your car. People have done everything and given everything they have to be cured of some terminal illness. And the sad thing is they may be cured of certain terminal things, certain things it seems like there is no cure for, and then somehow, miraculously, they make it through, but there's still going to be something else that's eventually going to take their life. If you were cured of cancer, dear friends, I want you to know, you're still going to die. That's the way it is. There have been people that have been cured of the most horrific illnesses, and then days later after the news, be killed in automobile accidents. Life's going to end. The people have given houses, lands, cleared their banks. They've done everything that they could. But the most horrible illness of all has already been covered. I don't even have to file anything with my insurance. He did everything that needed to be done. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're forgiven of your sins and heaven's going to be your home. The Bible says of sin, because they believe not on me. The Holy Spirit is reproving the world of sin. Today you are a sinner and He is trying to convict you and convince you of your sin. You may be sitting here in this place and you may be think that you're getting by with it and you may be playing games at the house of God. You may be playing church. But dear friends, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit one day will usher you into His presence at a place called the Great White Throne, and you will be condemned for all eternity in a place called hell. You will not get by with your sin. You say, "Preacher, you seem so serious about this." And dear friends, it's time for us to be serious. If you die without Christ, you're going to go to a devil's hell for all eternity. And there'll be no relief. But dear one, if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, glory land is just ahead for you. Thank God for the reproving work of the Holy Spirit in the area of sin. Now this morning, how many would, by saying amen, how many would say, "I remember when I was convinced and convicted of my sin"? How many would say, "I remember when I trusted Christ as my Savior because the Holy Spirit showed me I was a sinner"? Would you say amen? Amen. It was a great day. But if you're here today and you've never been convicted of your sin and had an understanding that the end of that sin is an eternal separation from God, you're in trouble. You're on your way to hell. But may the Holy Spirit help you to see today that you're a sinner and there's a cure for your sin. You know, at our house, when somebody gets a cold, my wife, she feeds us the medicine. You know, you got vitamin C, you've got allergy medicine, you've got this medicine, you've got that medicine. I mean, you can ask the kids. If you wake up and you start sneezing, you've got 10 pills you got to take, you know? I don't know where she gets that from. It must be her mother. But you lay it out for them? Probably, that's what I thought. But you understand? You know what she's trying to do? She's trying to help us, trying to cure us, trying to get us through it. I have a cold today and a headache tomorrow and, you know, something else. Then you have to recover from all the side effects from the medicine that you popped in. But I was once a sinner. But Jesus pardoned me. Thank God for the reproving work of the Holy Spirit. If you're here today without Christ as Savior, may you be convinced that you're a sinner, convicted of that sin, and trust Christ. Reprove the world of sin. Secondly, reprove the world of righteousness. Verse number 10, the Bible says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see it, you see me no more. As the Spirit continues to work, he convinces mankind certainly of their sin, but then he convinces mankind for the need of righteousness. This is not something that's found in our ability, because the Bible says our righteousness, as good as we can be, is filthy rags. So we must have the righteousness of Christ. And when we put our faith in Christ as our Savior, His righteousness is placed onto our account. Isn't that a great thing? You know, when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. That's a great thing. I'm glad when God looks down and He sees me. He don't see me for who I am. He sees me for who He is. We put our faith in Christ, what a difference it makes. The Bible says He saves us to the uttermost. Those that come to God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1 that when we're saved, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. The Holy Spirit is reproving the world of righteousness because Jesus says, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and His righteousness becomes our righteousness, and He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He makes sure that I stay righteous because He's ever living to make intercession for me. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Lord willing, I'll be preaching from that chapter tonight. But verse 21 is a great verse. The Bible says, for He, God, hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? Christ, who knew no sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Think about that. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. For me. He, who knew no sin. Christ, the sinless Son of God, became sin. He did not sin, but He became sin so that we could be made righteous. And our righteousness is not our own, but it's His righteousness on our account. And we need to be living a righteous, holy life. I'm not better than anybody, dear friends, but I ought to be living a better way than other people are living. I ought to be living a holy life and a pure life. I ought to be living to be an example before my children and before others. What do you want your kids to be if you're here today? What do you want your kids to be? Do you want your kids to grow up and just go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and not really give their life to serving the Lord? Or do you want them to grow up and to be a soul winner and to be telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ, to be involved in the work of the church and give themselves fully to everything that you know is God's will? Well, then you do it. Amen. Then you live it. Christianity is more than a 3-time-a-week thing, you know. Every day, live before them the way that Christ would have you to live. Be that righteous example. And be sure that you teach your children, that we teach our families, that we do what we do, not because we're trying to impress somebody, but because we love Jesus. Amen. Of righteousness, the Holy Spirit reproves the world of righteousness because the Lord is gone to the Father to make intercession for us. Because He says, I go to my Father and you see me no more. In other words, I'm going away. You're not going to see me till you're in heaven. So you're not going to say He was talking to His disciples here. I'm going away. The Comforter is going to come. You're not going to see me, but I want you to know my work's not done. I'm going to be seated at the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to be living to make intercession for you. But while I'm living to make intercession for you, the Holy Spirit is here to reprove you, to convince you, to convict you about living a righteous, holy life so that you can prove to others you belong to me. Does everybody know you belong to Jesus? Does everybody know you're part of the family of God? Does everybody see something in you that they don't see in the world? Because the Holy Spirit is doing a work in their life, reproving us of righteousness. The Holy Spirit convinces us of these things, but we must trust Christ by faith. We must trust Christ by faith. That's where it all begins. He reproves the world of sin. He reproves the world of righteousness. And thirdly, he reproves the world of judgment. The Bible says in verse number 11 of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And I think one of the most sobering thoughts is what we have right here. The prince of this world has already been judged and already been sentenced. By the way, Satan is the prince of this world. And the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the grave determines Satan's doom. His end is already settled. And all that reject Jesus Christ as their Savior has the same condemnation coming to them. If you reject Christ, then you'll spend your eternity with Satan in a devil's hell of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged, and he's bringing as many as he possibly can with him. Just as Christ is trying to bring others to him through the work of the Holy Spirit, Satan has his workers. There's people all around this world trying to convince people that they don't need to trust Christ as Savior, that they don't need to live for the Lord. And by the way, they're trying to convince people that are saved not to give themselves fully to the things of God so that you won't be the witness that God wants you to be. Think about it. Just as God has his workers, Satan has his workers. We have to understand this. The Holy Spirit is reproving the world of judgment, convincing them of judgment. And just as Christ's righteousness becomes the righteousness for all that believe, Satan's punishment becomes the punishment for everyone who does not believe. This is a serious thing. People need to know Christ as Savior. And while many may be reproved or convinced of these things, that doesn't mean that they're automatically going to get saved, does it? Look, I've talked to people and they said, yeah, I realize I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. But you know, I just don't want to do it right now. I just don't want to give my life to the Lord right now. I just don't think I can hold out. You know, you try to help him to see. You don't have to hold out. He does the holding out, you know. He takes care of it. You place your life in him and he takes care of you. You're not going to be perfect, but when you do wrong, yeah, you're not going to feel good about it. You try to help people. But I've talked to a lot of people that are religious, but they're lost. They know everything. Look, there's people that probably know the Bible much better than I do that's dying and going to hell. Just to have a knowledge doesn't save you. You have to have a relationship. And the Holy Spirit's trying to work at bringing you to Christ. If you're here today, you may be under the sound of my voice every week. You may hear me Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But just because you listen to what I say and because I preach the Bible, because others preach the Bible, doesn't mean that you're automatically saved. There has to be a day where you come to Christ. He's did everything. He's come as far as he could go. He's paid the price. He's given an open invitation. And he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That doesn't mean that you just sit down and you say, Lord, and you're saved. That means you have to understand, first of all, that you're a sinner, because he is here reproving the world of sin. Of righteousness, because you begin to realize you need his righteousness added to your account, and to understand this judgment, that if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you're going to get the judgment that Satan's going to get. That's difficult to think about, isn't it? Did you know if you die and go to hell, it's your fault if you've heard the truth? It's your fault if you've heard the truth. You must, by faith, trust in the finished work of Calvary and call upon the name of the Lord. Not only is the work of the Holy Spirit a reproving work, and it reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, there's one more thing. It's a revealing work. A revealing work. Notice what the Bible says in our text in verse number 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. So we understand this, that even those that were in the Lord's presence was not ready for all that the Lord had for them. Isn't that what he said? He said, I have a lot more things to say to you, But you can't handle them now. But the Holy Spirit's going to show some things to you. And as you're ready for them, the Holy Spirit's going to give them to you. That's pretty good. You see, what it is, that's growing in the Lord. The problem is, most of us are not yielding our life to the Holy Spirit. And when we're not yielding our life to the Holy Spirit, then He's not going to show us the things that Christ wants us to see. How many would say this morning with a hearty amen, how many would say, I want everything that God has for me? Would you say amen? I want the blessings of Christ on my life. Amen. I want to follow His will for my life. Amen. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to try to show this to us. He's going to reveal this. He has a revealing work. But we must be tender and yield to the Spirit. We must give ourselves to the work of the Spirit in our life. Those that were there in the Lord's presence, while they couldn't bear it all, the Holy Spirit was going to do a work because they couldn't bear it all. In other words, God saved me August 26, 1985. He began to work in my life and He began to show me things. Day after day after day, He began to show me things. 11 months later, now it's not always that way. I know some people have been saved and surrendered to preach all on the same day. Tom Malone was that way, got saved, surrendered to preach. Same day, you know. Preached for decades. Died a couple years ago. But I think about how He worked in my life. I wasn't ready the day that I got saved to be a preacher. When I surrendered to preach, I still wasn't ready. But He had revealed some things to me. Now here I am. A long time later, 24 years after being saved, almost 23 years after surrendering, and He's still revealing things to me. Because there were things that when I first got saved that I wasn't ready to get. I wasn't ready for Him. There was things that He wanted to show me, but He knew that I couldn't bear them. I couldn't handle them. The problem is, a lot of Christians' lives, they don't grow. The longer we live, the holier we ought to be. The longer we live, the more of a desire to serve God we ought to have. Because the Holy Spirit's revealing things to us. Can I ask you, how's your life with the Lord? Are you at the same place now, spiritually speaking, as you were a year ago? That's not God's fault. Because when you're ready to receive it, He'll reveal it. They weren't ready to receive some of these things. That's what He's trying to say. So after the Lord's going to go away, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and the Bible says He's going to reveal some truths to them. And I believe it's a continuing work. The work of the Holy Spirit is a continuous work in our lives. The Lord desires for us to do His will with our lives. That's what He wants. We belong to Him now. He says, I've got a plan and a purpose. I've got a life for you to live. And He's given us the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, and He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us. And He wants us to be a holy servant. Don't forget that when Christ was speaking here, that they didn't have the completed revelation either. In all honesty, you know, they were with Christ. And you think, well, being with the Lord, they ought to be more ready and more willing. But they didn't even have all the truth given. Now we have it all. We'll have no excuse when we stand before the Lord. Amen? And they would rely on the portion that they did have, and they'd rely very much on the Holy Spirit. And just because they relied on the Holy Spirit and didn't have all the Holy Scriptures doesn't mean that we need to rely less on the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us too. And we have the precious gift of the whole Word of God. And we have the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. And He's going to reveal all the things to us as we seek to know it. How many would say, I want to be in God's will tomorrow? Say amen. Well, the way of being God's will is to obey what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And He's not going to reveal that if you're not willing to hear it and to do something with it. The sad thing is that so many Christians are satisfied and have no desire to go forward. You see this in so many lives. The Holy Spirit's there. He's ready to reveal some great truths concerning the Lord and His will for our lives. It's wonderful to be saved. I love the fact that I lay my head down on my pillow and I know I'm saved. That's great, isn't it? How many would say, I'm glad I'm going to heaven, no doubt about it? It's good. But there's so much more to the Christian life than just being saved. God has so much more than just knowing that heaven's going to be my home. What are you going to take to heaven with you? Who are you going to meet there that you helped to get there? What treasures are you laying up in heaven? All this is according to what we have done with the things that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us in obeying Him. Christ may call you to Africa. He may call you to China. He may call you to go to North Korea. Now, I don't know how you get there, but if that's where He's calling you, He'll make a way. But if you want everything that God has, you have to be willing to say yes as the Holy Spirit guides your life. But so many of us are so settled that, you know, we don't want to get out of that comfort zone. But when the Holy Spirit's revealing things, dear friends, you better follow Him. Live your life for the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. You know, if you're not letting Him, let today, why don't you begin to say, I'm going to let Him. I mean, I'm just giving myself fully to Him. I'm surrendering all. I'm not going to hold back that little part of my life. I'm giving myself. I don't want you to literally do this. But why don't you come and lay yourself down on the altar and say, all to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him and in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. You can't come and lay, you know, we don't, but you can come and surrender, yield. And you can say, Lord, as the Holy Spirit leads, I will follow. Is He reproving you? Today is He reproving you of sin. Have you ever trusted Christ by faith? If you were to die today, and by the way, death could come to you, it's no respecter of persons. Brother Kidwell was talking about his sister and niece in an instant. They stepped out into eternity. You don't know. Will you make it home? Will you make it out the door? You going to live for 10 more years? You going to live just for 10 more minutes? If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, the end of this life is a place called hell. And you go there if you've never been forgiven your sins and been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you've never trusted Christ. Is it reproving you of sin? It's right now. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you've been forgiven? Do you know? You say, preacher, I've been saved. Heaven's going to be my home. There's absolutely, positively no doubt about it. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Is it reproving you of righteousness? Are you convinced that you need to live a holy life? Not in your righteousness, but by being obedient to the Spirit's work? Is it reproving you of judgment? Helping you understand that there's two judgments, the Bema Seat and the Great White Throne. The Bema Seat means that Christ has taken the judgment of your sin upon Himself. The Great White Throne means you've rejected the judgment that Christ took upon Himself, and now you're going to face it, and you're going to pay for your sins for all eternity. The Holy Spirit's trying to work. Is He revealing to you concerning God and His will? What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? Are you doing your will or God's will? As He has revealed, have you been obedient? Look, it's not always about knowing the end. It's about doing the next step. There's a journey to the will of God. God has a path for you to take. I don't know exactly where I'm going to end up in this world. I know where I'm going to end up in eternity. I don't know exactly where I'm going to end up in this world. But right now, I've got to do what God wants me to do, where God wants me to do it. And then He'll guide me day by day by day. My life is His. And as He reveals things to me and as He reveals things to you, you have to take that step and say, all right, I am surrendered. The work of the Holy Spirit is a great work, isn't it? A great work. Father, we thank You for Your love. Your grace is so sufficient. Your mercy is everlasting. Thank You for the sweet Holy Spirit that works in our lives. Lord, there are those in our midst today that have never trusted Christ. You know who they are and they know who they are. And I pray that the Holy Spirit has reproved them of their sin today, has convicted them, convinced them that they're a sinner. Lord, not playing a game, no longer pretending, but Lord, today come to that point where they realize they must trust Christ and Him alone. For those of us that are saved, we've been convinced of the need to be holy, to live the righteous life, not through our own ability, but through the ability of Christ in us, understanding the judgment that lies ahead. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the reproving work, but thank You also for the revealing work. And as You work in our lives, may we be obedient to You every day. May the work that You have for us to do be accomplished because of this obedience. Now please have Your way. May we come to Thee today and lay ourselves on the altar, give ourselves fully to Thee, and surrender all, not hold anything back, but to give it all to Thee. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as the piano begins to play, just a couple of questions.